Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. Mike Levin.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
And John is my assistant.
Okay. Well,
hey, how are you?
Good, good. Are we in a car or we're in a...
I'm sitting in a hotel. No, I'm sitting in a hotel kind of in a lobby area.
Yeah, maybe.
In Baltimore, not in Florida.
Great. I don't know if you can get away from the pool or whatever's behind you, but I'm getting a...
Let me just see. That may just maybe air conditioning. Hang on 1 second. Let me just go someplace else. Any better?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Much better. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay.
It's amazing. These phones are amazing these days. I think you can make movies with them. The recording devices are so good. Well, welcome. This is week one, so we cover a lot of territory, and we're going to try and do it all jammed into a half an hour. Before I get started, Michael, what's on your mind?
Well, it's interesting. I just sat through a meeting. Actually, it's still going on. We have something at Janney called the Opportunity Index, and it's almost as though listening to some of the larger producers, they all go through the process that I've been through four of the videos. I've read a lot of the material, talking about segmentation, talking about getting rid of the lower end of the book. There is, we use something with Price Metrics and through McKinsey that looks to increase target households greater than 250, part of that came from reducing the lower end of the book, which is what you and I originally spoke about before I even got started. So that was one of my questions. I guess my questions are process of segmentation. I read it, and I want to go through that because it's difficult to kind of get my arms around in terms of what counts to get rid of it, and I have no – that's the easiest way I can put it together. How long should the process developing the segmentation take? That's number two. Number three is based on my position of management currently and getting involved in this and having a long-term time frame, as you and I discussed, working with Division of Time. And then I was just listening and, you know, you and I talked about 100 to 75 to 100 accounts. Peter Sargent, who's up in Radnor, Pennsylvania, was talking about 150 households. And I'm trying to zero in on where the first cut is. So those are my questions, and I haven't officially combined. I've only got partial combination of books that we have not totally turned them over as the FA is looking to scale out next year. You know, that will all turn over to me. So. Those are my thoughts going into this, listening through this whole meeting today that I wrote some things down.
Okay, it's great. what percentage of your income each year comes from management and what comes from your producing?
I've got salary. So salary comes from management, of which I would have if I just scaled back to Boca Raton. I have management incentive compensation for my office and the office that I attach to in Ponte Vedra. And then I get a percentage of revenue for the Florida region. So I would say that last year, based on total earnings, two-thirds comes from the management side of it.
Okay.
But let me add one thing in there, Rob, because the one thing that changed for me this year is that my Social Security started in February. So that, and my wife will go at the end of the year, so that will bring us to an additional 50 grand.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Something I didn't have.
That's a riot. Okay, terrific. one of the things I looked at was, you know, your allocation of time where you're spending 90% of your time on your region,
right,
and 10% on your book,
right.
Have you figured out? Is that? I mean, based on that, you could have a total of 20 clients.
Right.
So, what's going to happen with that?
Well, you know, John is after me all the time to do more business. Great examples. I'm sitting in this meeting today, thinking about some clients. Some. This is from a transactional side. Some good bonds came along. I gave him four names, and he was able to do the trades. I have got to scale back my time, and that's my first objective is to get it to where I can, and it's dramatic, but to go 40% book, 60% management, and then ultimately get to 50-50 until such time as I get to the level that I told you that I wanted to be at in terms of, you know, maybe just managing Boca as opposed to the region. You know, that's really where it needs to be.
It's so interesting. I put you at a 40% also. I'm not sure I don't think as long as you're going to be managing Boca and doing any management, you can't be 100% clients. So
no.
Maybe it goes to 50-50 at the max, right?
Well, if Boca, if it ends up just being Boca, and John will tell you that he watches me work all day long, and I watch him work. You know, it's just it's almost as though you put the boxing gloves up in front of your face, and you know, wait to see what's coming at you. Boca is not my biggest issue. Boca runs kind of pretty smoothly. We've got a great group in there. They're pretty much self-sufficient. John, would you say that the majority of it comes from outside of the office?
So I would say that 80% of it comes from outside of the office.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, just based on what you've said, going towards let's just throw out the 40% number for now as a intermediate goal. You could have 80 clients with 40% of your time. Now, that's no time for growth. That's taking 60% of your time and devoting it to management, 40% with the FAs. You can have 80 clients max.
Is it 80 clients or 80 households? That's where I get back and forth.
80 households.
Okay.
It's 80 12 4 2s is what it is. So
right, okay.
Okay. That's the time suck. You know, 12 4 2 will take about at the least amount, it's going to take 6 to 8 hours. All right. So you just do that math. That means you can have 80 clients. You can't have any more. Or you can't put, you know, you can have them hanging around, but they're not going to be in Supernova.
Right, right.
And you want to get so that you can brand yourself with Supernova. That's the game. You want to brand yourself as giving a terrific client experience to every single client. You don't want people hanging out that don't get good service because they can tell 300 people that you stink. You know, we don't want that. We want them all being raving fans. So in
right.
order to do that,
now,
we have to give
if
them.
If I can interject, 8 out of the 10 biggest households I speak to at least once, twice a week, some every day.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we're smart. We, as financial advisors, we're very smart. Typically, there's, you know, the average financial advisor will have like 300 clients. He talks to the top 50 all the time. The question is, what's happening with the other 250? In your case, you're going to talk to whatever, 8 to 10, and the question is, what's happening with the other you know, 110, 120, or whatever.
Some of those I talk to, you know, on a weekly basis as well. Some of them on a daily basis. It's, you know, there's some of the book that we both never speak to.
Right. And so that's
it's,
we want to get it consistent. That's all.
Rob, I started to work on my list of households to look at where I could make them disappear. And we have a service center, so I can send them to the service center. I don't really have anybody in the office that I would turn them over to. So it's, you know, and then what happens down the road? So I've got this additional 70 million coming in from the broker that's retiring, and then I have another broker that will ultimately retire that wants to give me another 50 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to scale back, and I have to get comfortable with what I'm doing, even if it takes me a period of time to get to where I need to be. Because I think the ultimate goal is that if I end up with $200 million in assets, if I can make them perform at the level they need to perform and give them the attention that they need to have, that 200 can be scaled down to, I don't know, 100, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to grow the 200 million in assets to 400 million. You just don't have any more clients.
No.
Keep the same number of clients. With a smaller number of households. And that's the idea. If you're going to continue to manage, to me, the ideal number would be probably 60 or 70 clients in the end that were all good clients that you talk to every month. So that would be, it's a big transformation, but it doesn't have to be painful, and we don't have to take a long time. How long does it take? You should be able to get it done in a month. You just make a concerted effort and work on it, and it's done. You have to get the right words, you have to get the right words to use as to why you're doing it. You know, in the old selling skills, Xerox selling skills model, which you may not have been involved with, but it's very old, the first thing you had to do was rationalize the sale. Why are we doing this? Why do we buy this and sell that? The idea is that you have to give them a rationale for what is this change, why all of a sudden is all this happening, and so you create an event around it, and the event can be anything that you want it to be, but to me it's typically it's one where you kind of woke up one day and life has been good and you've been successful and the world has been generous to you, and the problem is I have not been able to keep up with the level of service that I was hoping to deliver and had consistently delivered in the past. So therefore, I hired a consultant. We looked at our practice, and what we discovered was we had to make some changes. And so we made some changes, and this is what our commitment is going to be going forward to each and every one of our clients. Our commitment is that we're going to give multi-generational planning to each and every one of our clients. That would include 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews every year. 2 of those would be in person. And we've set up a rapid response team where we give 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And the clients will say, that sounds fabulous. How are you going to be able to do that? And you say, well, frankly, very simply, we're going to limit the number of clients that we're able to do business with. And then they hold their breath, and you tell them yay or nay. If it's a yay, that's easy. You're going to be one of the clients. All I ask in return is that you be there when we have these scheduled appointments. Otherwise, call and cancel. And if it's a nay, then you simply say, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to serve you as I have in the past, but I have a great team that's going to take care of you. And you tell them about the center, and they make the transition. And you can say something like, if you're not perfectly satisfied with the level of service, please call me, and I will have you reassigned to someone else. Now, the nice thing, Michael, is that we have this. This is recorded, so you can take it with you. You can put it on your phone. You can play it over and over so that you have those words down. Because you really should practice that little speech and get it so that you can say it consistently over and over, because you're going to need to say it quite a few times. And you don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, when you say that it's recorded, is it on the website or when I log in?
It's recorded on this call. So we send you, at the end of each of these calls, we send you a copy, we send you a link to the recording.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's a help. The other thing that I recommend you do is the Supernova Advisor is on audio. I recommend you listen to it. The same with you, John. Listen to it, on the way to work, whenever you have a minute. You know, listen to it on the way to work, way home, because what we'll do is it'll get the words, the vocabulary in your head.
Well, it's interesting because, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, we used to, one of the things that I learned was early on was spaced repetition. Listen to a tape for once a day for 5 days. You think that's an awful lot. Can't you get it in 1 day or 2 days? No, it takes a while for new ideas to get in your head.
Sure.
And so, so that's what we recommend. You know, on the key parts and the chapters, listen to it every day for 5 days and then move on to the next. And it'll really start to sink in and you'll get very, very good at this. You'll be able to teach it.
Well, the reason that you and I are speaking is because I've listened to it 4 times already. You know, never focused. Yeah, I keep going back to it. I listen to a novel in between, then I go back and listen again. Actually, one of my managers who is good friends with John, I just hooked him into my audio file, my Audible account, and said, you can start listening to this now, because he's got a similar situation. He's active, running 2 offices, and he's doing about $800,000 a year in gross production and still trying to find out how not to rip his hair out of his head.
Right. No, I'm with you. You guys, people can argue with me about Supernova being, for them or not for them, or makes sense or doesn't make sense. But when I run into managers that are producing, there's just no contest. I mean, they need Supernova desperately.
Right.
I mean, it'd be crazy not to do it, unless you're going to give up management, and then you have plenty of time. But you know that there's no time. So you need to make good use of every minute. So Supernova basically does that. You're very efficient. You're very effective. And nobody gets neglected. You give a great level of service. It's like the student, that's a swimmer and, has no time but gets all A's in their classes. You can do a terrific job on both, but you can't have too many clients. You just can't do it. It'll kill you. And you want some balance. Look, you're not a kid. I'm not a kid. We want to have fun in our lives at this point and have some balance, be with our children, our grandchildren, and enjoy it. So spending nights and weekends in the office is not anything that we should be doing at this stage. So
no.
So that's what, Supernova is the answer, and it's worked consistently for a lot of people. But we start with getting the words down, then start pitching it. And once you get it and you start pitching it, you're going to be able to go through your book very quickly. Now,
okay.
Cindy will get you the scheduler, which is it's a nice thing. We built it so that you wouldn't pull your hair out trying to schedule 12-4-2. You can schedule 12 with recurring, you know, and just put in recurring every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. The problem is, how do you do the 4 and the 2?
Right.
So what we've done is built an Excel spreadsheet where you drop the names in, it automatically populates the calendar, and then you just drop it into Outlook, and it automatically populates your calendar for the month. Okay? So we took a lot of the work out of it for you. I try to explain that to everybody, and then I have people going off and recreating the wheel, trying to do it themselves. And I said, that's crazy. You know, I spent thousands on that scheduler to make it work for you guys. Don't
right.
waste my money, you know?
Right, sure.
And then the other thing is we use folders. We use legal folders. We think they work great. I've had a couple of people do it electronically, and that's great. But the folders seem to be something that people like. They're physical. They're in front of them. They can take notes on them. And they take care of every compliance issue that you have in the world. And today, in terms of documenting what you're talking to about clients, suitability, the financial planning takes care of your suitability issues, assuming you do the right thing for the client. In terms of I say, you say issues, you take care of that with your notes that you take. And then we suggest that every call have an agenda and then an executive summary. Again, eliminating the I say, you say problems, and also making sure that everybody's very clear on who's going to do what. And it doesn't take that much. I used to think when we started this that was an onerous task, but people get very efficient with it. The agenda comes from the financial plan, and the executive summary, you can just write it down. There's, you know, 3 or 4 bullets that you're going to take care of for the client. That goes in the executive summary, and you send it off by email to the client, and they're happy.
Let me ask you a question, Rob. So we use a corporate CRM system. Do both? You know, I'm a handwritten note guy, but, you know, for firm purposes, they still want to see other notes.
That's okay. You can do both. You can copy them on. You can, you know, copy them onto your computer, and your CRM system can produce a hard copy which you put in the folder. It's up to you.
Right.
Just
okay.
Try working with both and see how it goes. You know.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. We need to determine in the first week your min and max. So my suggestion would be to determine your absolute minimum and your target minimum based on not on the full number of clients, but on more the number of clients you want to keep, like 100, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that would give you a much more, you know, reasonable number in terms of assets and production as term your absolute minimum. That would be your average. And then you look at your target minimum, which is the top 20% of your clients, basically those 10 clients that you love. How much business do they give you? That's who we're after. We're not going to prospect for people that look average. We want to prospect for people that look like our top 10 or 20% of your practice.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, we can work on that because, John, you know, if you start to look at that household list that you gave me yesterday and see where, you know, where it fits in, you know, my top asset client is a $10 million account that, doesn't do a lot of business, but I charge him 30 basis points on a fee-based account. And he's happy with that. And, you know, I'm trying to get to more of those. But let me throw something else at you. So we're looking to part of what came out of this meeting today, and I'm going to do a presentation in May, but is the percentage of accounts over 250, and or percentage, I'm trying to think what the term was, I have to go look it up, but cleaning out the bottom of the book as the first place to start. So what you're saying is that even if I take a $100,000 or $50,000 account and just throw it into a managed account and leave it there at the bottom, you don't think that's beneficial?
No, not at all. No, you don't have time for that.
Okay.
You don't want to keep anybody less than 250.
Okay.
Even at the beginning here, you know, just you want to jettison all those.
And if they, but if in fact they're part of a household,
yeah,
that's
they're
fine.
They're children of your best clients, of course.
Right. Okay. All right.
We want to have, you know, the rule of common sense trumps all other rules. So if it's a center of influence and they've brought you your best clients, then of course you're going to keep them. But
Basically,
you're not going to, I mean, you're going to, you have the opportunity to collect twice on other people's work here. You want to make it a good experience for those clients coming in. So you want room for their, you know, you really want to have enough room that you can take those clients in. So you got to skinny your book down pretty quick here.
Right.
Okay.
John, your thoughts?
I basically understand how it works, and you know, we just got to map it out and figure it all out.
Okay.
Yeah. So you want to, you know, the answers I need are what is your absolute minimum? You mean you won't take a client less than that? And then what's your target minimum, which is where? So, you know, you take your production divided by 100, say, what does that look like in terms of your average? And then what does the top 20% of your practice look like? And then our target, we have an absolute maximum number of clients we're going to keep, which is obviously less than 100. We'd like to get it down to like 70. So that'd be your target minimum. Or target maximum, I'm sorry, target maximum. So those are the two answers, you know, there's actually four answers I need for next week. Absolute minimum, target minimum, absolute max, target max.
Well, let's throw this out there now. So, you know, my production last year was not a lot because I didn't focus on it. So if I take my, you know, 90 million in assets and start scaling it back, I still need to be able to generate some revenue along the way. And I'm thinking about, I understand exactly what you're saying from a, you know, an absolute minimum and a target maximum. And I just got to go through those to see where I generate the majority of my revenue. Because I don't really, you know, I want to, the accounts that don't generate any revenue unless they're part of a household, you're right, I don't need them.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we'll go through that this week. You know, I'll be back in Florida tonight, and I've got to run down to Miami tomorrow. We can start looking at
you
it.
You may not be back in Florida tonight, Mr. Levin, just an FYI.
Why,
the FAA just grounded all those planes.
Oh, they did?
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, they did.
Really? Wow, I just flew up on one this morning.
Yeah, they just announced it about 15 minutes ago.
I wonder what the...
Are you on American?
No, I'm on Southwest.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're going to have to check. You might have to get rebooked.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, that's an interesting thought.
Sorry to interrupt with that.
No, unfortunately, we won't run this tight a schedule in the future. We won't do half hours. I'll give you the full, you know, I'll give you a full hour, even though you pay for a half an hour. I give you, you know, half an hour or 30 or 40 minutes. We won't be jammed like this, but I've got another call at 3, so I have to jump off
because
I use the same line.
that's all fine. We'll figure it out. you know, next week, and we'll start working on that stuff now.
All right, terrific. That's great. All right, Michael, John, thank you. I appreciate you being on, and look forward to working with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Rob.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye. All right. Bye, Mike. Bye.
Yep.